Find out in a minute, amen. So if it kind of falls a little bit tonight, I've been kind of off for a little while from mission conference. Brother Terrence was with us Sunday, had a great day in the Lord, amen. But we'll try to give you something, amen. Top it all off, I've been having something scratching in my throat. And so I took a little bit of medicine and I feel dizzy. So it ain't good, I ain't preached in 2 weeks and now I'm dizzy on top of it. What I'm doing is fishing for a little sympathy tonight in case that flops. So I hope y'all feel sorry for the preacher. Amen. This holy water? Oh, yeah, that's good. Judges chapter number 2. Good to be in church. Amen. Brother Terrence left a good testimony of our church Sunday. He said, Brother, there is a lot of liberty in your church. Amen. It's the Lord's church, number one. Amen. But thank God for liberty. The Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. And what a great compliment. A preacher come preach in your pulpit and leave your church and say, there's liberty at church. Because it's not always like that. Amen. I know you might not understand that, but it's not always like that. Judges chapter 2, we'll be in verses 11 through verse 23 if time will permit. But it's been such a long time since we've been in our study in the book of Judges. I want to back up to chapter 2, verse 1. I want to read the chapter. Read the chapter. Now, we've been studying the book of Judges, and this is where God raises up judges to deliver the children of Israel out of their struggles. Amen. The Bible said, you know how it works if you read your Bible. He started out kind of with Abraham, and he went over into Noah, and then went over into Moses and over into Joshua, and God used these leaders. But then when you get to the book of Judges, God begins to raise up different judges to deliver God's people out of their struggles and battles that they face. Joshua told them what to do ahead of it, and Joshua is the book before the book of Judges. He gives them some instructions in that chapter 24 about what they should do when they go into the land, how to conquer it, how to overcome, how to get the victory they're going to need, how to drive out all the enemies. And if they would obey God, it would work. And that's where you get that famous verse in Joshua 24:15, where Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And everybody else said, Joshua, that's what we're going to do. But it didn't wind up like that. And then you go into the book of Judges. He's kind of recapping this a little bit. And a matter of fact, the study tonight is kind of a summary of the book of Judges itself. We've looked at a few things in this first chapter and in the introduction and the second chapter. But let's just read verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. That's what God did. You remember that? We need to do that. Exodus 12. God sent Moses down there to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. He made them come out of Egypt. Now he's talking about the nation of Israel, delivering them. The Bible said in verse 1 again, in the middle of it, and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. Thank God, God keeps His promises, right? Yeah. And I said, this is God said, I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Glory be to God. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. And this is what God told them. And God's very plain in how He speaks. Amen. I'm glad God's like that. I don't want to be spoke too plain. I don't want it to be gray and where I'm having to guess what you got to say. Just go ahead and say it and be done with it. He said, you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? God said, this is what I told you to do. I told you to go in there, make no league, throw down their altars. He said, you haven't done it. Why haven't you? What's your excuse? Why did you do it a different way than the way I said do it? Well, that's a scary question there. God's going to ask us all one day when we stand before Him. Right. If you're hearing your laws, you're going to say, why didn't you accept my son as your Savior? Yeah. If you're hearing your Savior, we're going to go home and give an account of what we've done in this body, whether it be good or bad. God's going to say, why did you do it that way? Yeah. A lot of things I'd like to do over. How about you? Yeah. Right. Verse 3, wherefore I also said, I will not. There's consequences for you not obeying the Lord. I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. God said you could have drove them out, you could have had complete victory, but you didn't do it, so they're going to be a thorn in your side. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. I mean, what else can you do? Being caught with your hand in a cookie jar. We're wrong. Well, you could do what most Baptists do. We just get mad. But if we're wrong, we're wrong. Amen. Right things do is just weep. Yeah. And they called the name of the place Bochim, verse 5, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went everyone into his inheritance to possess the land. So Joshua's got before him, he's rebuked them, showed them what God said, and now they're going off realizing that we're going to have to live with these thorns the rest of our lives. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Now what's going on in Joshua 2, you can go back to Judges 24, read the same story, a little different insight from the man that was writing. But he says this is what went on. Joshua died. That's when Joshua got before them and exhorted them to serve the Lord. And they said, yes, we will. And Joshua said, no, you can't do it. And they're like, how can you tell us what we can't do? He said, because I know your heart and God knows your life. You ain't going to do right. You just can't serve Him. You can't serve God and mammon. Can't serve two masters. So Joshua died. And they buried him in the border of the inheritance of Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered under their fathers, and there arose another generation. So Joshua died, the generation with Joshua died. There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. We said when we studied this last time, one or two things happened here. In Joshua 24, Joshua said, serve the Lord. He said, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Joshua said, you can't do it. Your heart ain't right with God. Amen. But now we're going to do it anyhow. And the Bible said that they served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of those elders. But after the Joshua died and the elders died up, the next generation that came up, they rose a generation that knew not the Lord. Yeah. One or two things happened. Number one, the people that was with Joshua that said, we're going to serve the Lord, did not teach their children. So their children were raised up not knowing about God because nobody would speak up for God in that generation. They got by, amen, while Joshua was alive and they were alive. But when that generation came after them, nobody taught them about God. And there rose a generation that did not know God. Or number two, the elders taught the children and the children did not heed to what they had to say. That's what you have in families all the time. Some families won't teach their children, and some children won't listen to their families.
Yeah.
But there, and when those things happen, you raise a generation that does not know God.
Amen.
You know, it's sad to say, but for a whole, in our world today, we have a generation that does not know God.
Amen.
They do not know the God of this Bible.
Amen.
They know God's little g, but they do not know Jehovah God, the God of this Bible.
Amen.
How do you know that? Because what they do does not line up with this book.
Amen.
It's a dead giveaway, not serving God. So here's what happened. They died off, and there's that generation. Now, verse 11 is where we'll start tonight. We'll keep reading. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them, into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, thank God for that, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Look how soon verse 17 happens, though. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Thank God for His mercy.
Amen.
And it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They cease not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Brother John, how about pray for us tonight? God, help us. Do your will. Your spirit, yes, touch me. Yes, God, help. Amen. Now, if you wanted a title for our study tonight, it would be The Summary of Judges, or The Principles of Human Collapse. The Principles of Human Collapse. What you see is the downfall of man throughout Judges. God will come in, amen, they will walk with God. When God raises up a judge, as long as the judge is living, they'll do good. The judge dies off, they go back into sin, mess their lives up, they cry out again, God delivers them again. But man's constantly falling in traps, like a roller coaster up and down in his life. Verse 19, here's how it sums up like this. He said, it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers. So there's a generation before them that was corrupt. There was a judge that raised up. They lived good, but when the judge dies, they corrupted themselves more than their fathers and following other gods to serve them and bow down unto them. They cease not from their doings nor from their stubborn way. Very stubborn. Stubborn people, amen. Kind of reminds us of ourselves a lot of times, amen. Dr. Ruffin said about human collapse, he said this. He said, this illustrates the great principle of human collapse, which is more constant and steady than the laws of gravity or thermodynamics. Amen. It's just as great as gravity. What goes up must come down. Human collapse. He's always going up and down in his life. No matter what he touches, he destroys. It is a sure proof that any man is an evolutionist is mentally handicapped. If you believe in evolution, that man's getting better, there's got to be something wrong with your brain. Hey, you leave man to himself and you look exactly what happens. He bringeth himself a trap and a snare and ruins his life. He illustrated it like this. He said God started in Genesis 4, giving family relationships together, and man produced disobedience and murder. That's what Cain did to Abel. Put family in their responsibilities and he blew it. So God said, he set up government leaders and authority in Genesis 9, and he produced Baal and confusion in his life. Hey, God gives man long life. That's what he did in the days of Noah, and aid from outer space in Genesis 9, 6, and man produced bestiality and genocide of the human race.
Yeah.
That's what he does. The Bible shows this depravity of human collapse all the way through. God gives them education and the law. Raised up Moses, gave them the law. This is what the law said to do. And spiritual light from God, and man produced idolatry and self-evaluation. Well, I know something. Look at me. Look how smart I am. That's what happens. Amen. What did God do? God give us religious leaders in the Old Testament, which go before us. Moses, Joshua, David, Solomon, and the wisdom books. And man produced the murder of God's Son on Golgotha.
Amen.
That's what he produced. See, it's human collapse, one day after another. In the church age, that's where we're living today, and we're given Christian scholarship and 1900 years of grace, man produced what? A dictator. Here's what he's going to produce. A dictator who is Satan manifests in the flesh, and a tribulation that wipes out more than 2 million people. That's what we're producing. We're raising up a generation that does not know God, ushering in the Antichrist after all the grace God's shown on us for 2,000 years.
Amen.
Finally, boy, you want to talk about human collapse? Amen. Finally, given the international victory with no devil present in the millennial reign, and God present in the flesh, sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, man produces rebellion and of Gog and Magog, the white throne judgment in the lake of fire.
Yeah, that's right.
That's human collapse. The Bible teaches that all the way through. Apart from God, we're nothing. God don't help us out. We're going to fall on our faces and ruin our lives. So why is it that we see that showed out all through Scriptures and we look at our own lives, it shows the same way? Why do we constantly go away from God thinking our lives are going to be better? Well, I just do my own thing, go my own way. Go ahead and try it, you're going to fall right on your face.
Amen.
Same thing we did without God before God saved us. We lived for ourselves and look at the destruction it brought. Now God saved us and somehow in our warped mind we think we can handle it without God. You're going to fall on your face and make a mess.
Amen.
It's human collapse. I want to look at this thing in three ways tonight. Number one, Israel forsook and served. Number two, God fought and saved. But number three, Israel follows and God stops. I'm talking about those principles of human collapse. The summary of the book of Judges. Number one, Israel forsook and served. Do you know what happens when you forsake God? You're going to serve something else.
Amen.
Do you know what happens when you serve something else? You're going to forsake God.
Amen.
Kind of a fine line how to find out where the thing started at. I know it starts in the heart. Your heart's away from God, and then the issues of life come out of it. Hey, but they forsook God, and they served the world. But if you start serving the world, you're going to end up forsaking God.
Yeah.
Look at this in verse 11 through verse 13. Israel forsook and served. The Bible said, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. That's what they did. They served Balaam. Why did they serve Balaam? Verse 2. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Israel forsook and served. Amen. The Bible said in verse 11, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, it's interesting to me, is studying this thing a little bit today, that seven times it's recorded in the book of Judges that God made comment that Israel done evil in the sight of the Lord. They done evil in the sight of the Lord. Seven is the number of completion. Seven times through this book, God said, hey, Israel did evil in my sight. As I looked down at my people, I saw them doing wrong. You know, the good question asked when God looks down out of heaven, what does He see us doing?
Amen.
Do you know what our problem is? We think God ain't looking.
Amen.
So, preacher, I know God's looking. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. And, you know, He's all powerful. He's everywhere. But you live like He ain't looking.
Amen.
That's what, men love darkness because they're deep evil. They think when the lights go down, God don't see nothing. You think when you're in that in your bedroom when mom and daddy's not looking and you on that technology, God ain't looking. God sees it all.
Yeah.
Do you know if we would live with the conscious reality that God is looking and the fear of God in our hearts, it maybe would stop us from doing some of the foolishness we do in our lives?
Yeah.
They did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they end up serving Balaam. Why? Bluntly before God, we don't care what you see. This is the way I'm going to live. Well, that's a dangerous way to live your life. Do you know that? Seven times. Look at them. Look real quick. We'll look. Chapter 2, verse 11 is the first one. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Look in chapter 3, verse 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. They forsook and served, so God brought judgment on them. Look in chapter 4, and verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. That's a long time of judgment, ain't it? Look at chapter 10 and verse 6. Then evil in the sight of the Lord. 10:6 says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth. And the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not Him. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. 13, the number of rebellion. Here's the last one. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. What shows the progression of how long God delivered them out there, doesn't it? You keep messing around with God, they don't know how far He'll let you have your own way.
Yeah.
Did evil in the sight of the Lord, amen. They forsook and served, amen. They did not care what God was seeing. You know what Proverbs says in Proverbs 5:21, Solomon said in his wisdom, he said, the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Do you know God's looking? Do you know God's been looking all day? Been looking all day.
Yeah.
Well, mama didn't see, daddy didn't see, my husband didn't see, my wife didn't see, the church members didn't see, but God saw. And He pondered all you goings. He didn't just look at them, He pondered them. Pondered them. Why are they doing that? Why are they making that decision? Why are they going there? What are they doing looking at that? Don't they know better?
Amen.
Do you know how to help our lives out from serving and forsaking God and serving this whole world? If we live with a conscious reality that God is looking, and get a little fear of God about us and the things we do when we think no one's looking.
Amen.
Their collapse started when they didn't care that God was looking. He's looking. He's looking. They served Balaam. Look, verse number 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Now, verse 11 is the summary of verse 12 and verse 13. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. That's what they did. They done evil and served Balaam. Verse 12 and verse 13 describes that statement. Look at it. And they forsook the Lord of the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them. This is how they done it. This is how they got to the point where they're serving Balaam in the sight of the Lord. And bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Baal and Ashtaroth. Baal, who is Baal? They served Balaam. That's what he said in verse 11. Balaam is plural for Baal. Baal. That's what it is. If you study the word Baal, Baal is the sun god. He's the male figure of goddess. Baal is. Ashtaroth is the female, the queen of heaven, the Bible speaks and calls her. That female goddess. That's the ones that your early Catholicism worshiped. There's images of that woman holding that baby as Mary and Jesus. That's Ashtaroth. That's this Esther and Easter, where you get this female goddess. So you got a male goddess in Baal, female goddess in Ashtaroth. So you have the two gods. One in one represents the sun. That's the male. The other one represents the moon. And they served Balaam. You know what this female goddess and male goddess produced? They produced Balaam. You know what Balaam is? Balaam is the stars and planets. It's the production of Baal and Ashtaroth. You know what happens when you start playing around with sin? It starts producing more sin. And wider varieties of you doing wrong. The Bible said they served, verse 11, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam. They're serving the gods that they produced from Baal and Ashtaroth. They combined their goddesses together. Hey, you're not just going to play around a little bit. You're going to dabble a little bit of this and a little bit of this. And you're going to produce a fornicating god. Has a lot to do with sexual type oriented sin.
Yeah, right.
You know, we'll read a little bit later on, and he says that the children of Israel, here's the words that he used, they went a whoring.
Right. Yep.
You know what James said in James 4:4? I'm a little bit ahead of myself, but he said, you adulteresses and adulterers and adulteresses. Something about that. That's what he described them.
Yeah.
They went out on God. Hey, what does he say in 2 Corinthians 11? God presented that he might present us as a chaste virgin.
Yeah. Right.
But instead, we've been committing fornication with the world.
Yeah.
Laying down with the world. Baal and Ashtaroth, the sun god, male gods, the queen of heaven. You write down Jeremiah 44, verse 17 through 25 if you'd like to read it. The sun god. They went their own way. They didn't want God. They wanted to do it their own way. God said, all right, that's the way you want it. Go ahead. You can have it your way. Do you know the same thing with Solomon? Hey, look, hold your place here looking at 1 Kings chapter number 11. 1 Kings 11. We'll run a few of them. 1 Kings 11. You remember Solomon, the man with all the wisdom? Bible said in Solomon, 1 Kings 11, 3. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his what? His wives did. How did his wives turn away his heart? This man's got wisdom. This is the man that said, hey, God said you have whatever you want. He said, just give me wisdom how to go in and out before you, and God granted it. He wrote all these wisdom books. Nobody had wisdom like him besides the Lord himself. As far as a man's concerned. Sometimes you're too smart for your own good, huh? He thought he knew more than he knew. I mean, any man that thinks he can have 1,000 women, he's something's wrong in his mind. That's why you ever been around somebody that's real book smart but ain't got no common sense? Maybe that was Solomon. He was real book smart but ain't got no common sense. After the first one, he thought, man, I don't want another one of these. Thank God for the one I got, but that's all I want. I would just smile, amen. Thank God for your wife, amen. But anyhow, the Bible said it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord God, Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after who? Ashtaroth, the goddess. See, goddess, she's that female god of the Zidonians. And after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So what did he do? He got his heart turned. He turned unto these other gods. You know what God said? You know what he told the children of Israel? Hey, don't go around their gods because their gods will influence you. But Solomon thought, well, I won't be influenced. I'm so touched with God. I got so much wisdom. It's not going to bother me. I don't care who you are. You hang around with the world, it's going to get on you. It's going to get on you. He forsook Israel and forsook God and served the gods of this world. That's what they did. The children of Israel did. Now, look at verse 12. Look at the downfall. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. You know what I see first of all happen? You know what I see in Romans, Judges 2, 12? I see Romans chapter 1. Plain as day. Romans 1. You go and read it sometime if you like. In reference to verse 12. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers and brought them out of the land of Egypt. You know where they started out? They started out with the loss of gratitude. What he said over there in Romans, they were not unthankful. And served the creature more than the creator. You know where it started at? They serving Balaam. They were not thankful for what they had. He said, I'll never forsake God and serve Balaam. Amen. And follow after Balaam. You start losing your gratitude, you're liable to go anywhere. You're not thankful for your wife no more. Not thankful for your husband. Not thankful for your church. Not thankful for the people of God. Not thankful for God and what He's done for you. You on your step. You're on the first step on your way away from God. They forsook God and forgot the God that brought them out of the land of Egypt. Well, God was the best thing ever happened to Israel. They were down there in bondage, a slave to Pharaoh, had no liberty to serve God. All they wanted to do was get out and serve the Lord. And God sent Moses in and delivered them out. And they're not grateful for God delivering them out of Egypt. Well, you're not grateful anymore that God, you're not lost and on your way to hell anymore? Well, my life's miserable. It ain't as miserable as it was. You forgot what hellhole God dug you out of. You lose gratitude towards God. You're going to be serving Baal and Asherah and Balaam. That's what you're going to produce. They lost gratitude. You know what happens after? Look at the step down. Look at verse 12. You can preach this whole verse here by yourself all night. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. There's their gratitude gone. After you lose gratitude, number two, and they followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them. They lost their gratitude of God, and then they grabbed a hold of the world. That's their steps. They're not thankful for what God did, but then they start looking at all the gods around them and they grab the hold of them. You're not thankful for God, you're grabbing all the gods you can get a hold of. Anything I can get, everything the world's doing, you find yourself doing also. What a wicked way to go, amen. Well, I'd never do that, preacher. I'll never go back to the life I used to live. As soon as you lose gratitude towards God, you're going to start looking around at what the world's got, and you're going to grab a hold of it and pick it back up and start doing the old life you used to live. Ain't nobody in here is an exception to the rule. You hang around with that world, it's going to pull you in like a magnet. Well, not me, preacher. I'm going to keep serving God. You'll be the first one that ever done it.
Yeah.
Let me let you know the secret. You're not going to be first one because it ain't going to happen. You're going to pick up this stinking world. You'll be doing things God knows what. And you'll look and say, what in the world happened to me? How did I wind up in the hog pen?
Amen.
No gratitude.
Right.
And you grabbed a hold of the world. And you know what God did? And the Bible said, and bowed themselves under them and provoked the Lord to anger. They lost their gratitude. They grabbed a hold of the world and God gave them up. That's Romans chapter 1. To work all uncleanness. Go ahead. That's what you want? And provoke the Lord to anger. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that's what he goes on to say in Romans 1, right? Have pleasure in them that do them. You still doing it. Provoking God to anger and you just saying, help yourself. No fear of God.
Yep.
That Israel forsook and served. So what does God do? Number two, God fought and saved. Boy, ain't you glad God don't give up?
Amen.
God can do us all the way a lot of times.
Right.
Look at verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Verse 12, the end of that verse says, and provoked the Lord to anger. You know what God did? He got upset. You know where I find myself sometimes? I find myself getting upset at church members. I do. Some of you make me mad that I want to cuss. I can't cuss. That ain't right. But you make me mad. Why? Because you sit there trying to lead people the right way and they do stupid stuff and you get upset. The thing is to have discernment how to handle that thing. You know what Moses did when he led them children of Israel? They always grumbling, complaining, and starting all this junk. And he finally just smoked the rock and God got him. He didn't go into the promised land. You got to be able to handle that anger. I think there's one thing we're getting, not one thing wrong with getting mad. I believe some of you need to get mad sometimes at some of the junk that goes on. You know, if it don't bother you, something's wrong with you.
Amen.
If it don't bother you that your children don't serve God and your wife don't live for God, your husband don't live for God, you just cold and something's wrong.
Amen.
I'm not trying to justify getting angry, but you ought to be upset about some stuff. The thing is how to handle it when you do get upset. You know what I've done as a pastor? That sometimes as a pastor, I've got upset and I blew it. And rebuked somebody when I shouldn't have rebuked them. There's sometimes that I should have rebuked you and didn't rebuke you.
Right.
You know what your preacher needs? Prayer to discernment how to handle what goes on. You said, well, preacher, all I'm looking at is for your good.
Yeah.
Trying to help you live for God, and I need some discernment. I need like Solomon, amen. God, give me some discernment how to go in and out between your people.
Yeah.
How to help lead the flock in the right direction. When to speak up and say no, and when to keep my mouth shut and let you handle it. And the Lord got upset. Man, we need to get upset.
Amen.
If I got upset and done it the wrong way, God forgive me.
Amen.
You too. But if I didn't say something when I should have, God forgive me.
Yes.
It's the discernment on how to know when to do something and when not to do it.
Amen.
There's people that's left this church that I believe in my whole heart that if I'd have said something at a certain time, I could have maybe, that's the way my mind plays, maybe to help them not make the decision that they made.
Right.
Maybe I was too lenient. Some of them, maybe I was too rough. How do you find the balance? How do you pastor a bullheaded crowd like y'all and handle it the right way? Without having people mad at you. You need to know when to go take the whip and go in there and turn the tables over and whoop their hides out. And you need to know when to go in and just take them in like a hen does with chicklings and hug on them and love on them. The Lord's angry. He's upset. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. What did he do? He fought for them. Verse number 14. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers. This is what he did first. And that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about. You think, well, God shouldn't do that. You know, God got so upset with them, he turned them over to their enemies. Let their enemies whoop them. He said, I'll fix them. I'll show them. so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. That's what he did to them. That's cruel, ain't it? He said, God shouldn't do that. That's the same way you feel about your pastor. He shouldn't do that. There come a time, sometimes you just need a good rebuking.
Amen.
You know, kind of like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Long, sooner or later, somebody just needs to say, hey, man, you need to check up.
Yeah.
Something ain't right.
Amen.
You can't constantly do it the way you're doing and think it's okay.
Amen.
You can't serve Baal and Ashtaroth all your life and then throw God in there every once in a while.
Right. Amen.
When it's convenient, I'll serve the Lord, but outside that, I'm going to do my own thing.
Yeah.
Y'all all right?
Yeah.
You know when you get a problem with it, it's when you get a lot of other gods that are out there.
Amen.
And you got a lot more avenues to do things. And so it makes it easy for the devil to pull you in with those gods of the world. You know, that love of money, the root of all evil, those things. When you didn't have nothing, you didn't have no hindrance to go nowhere and run away from God.
Right.
Now God blesses you and you run away all the time.
Right.
You know I'm telling you the truth. Well, we ain't believing God. Just leaving your responsibilities. Right? God said, all right, go ahead, help yourself. What are you going to do when he turns you over to the enemy? He said, whithersoever they went out, verse 15, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. God's hand was against them. Them are God's chosen people. As the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. God put them out there in a fix. God was angry. You know what he says in Psalm 17, 7, verse 11? God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. That's the wicked. Well, that's people in general that don't know God. God's angry with his people here. They're living a wicked life. So what did God do in verse 14? He delivered them. He sold them out. Amen. And he would no longer stand up for them. He made it where they couldn't stand. That's what he said. And they were greatly distressed. Boy, you don't want to mess with God when he puts you on your back.
Amen.
Well, that's the God of the Old Testament. We're trying. See if he ain't the same one in the New Testament.
Yeah, right.
You're just going to do your own thing? And God delivered them. You know why God delivered them? God delivered them so he can get them right. So, the psalmist, I'm glad that I was afflicted that I went out of strength. Sometimes you need a good old dose of chastening the hand of the Lord to see how good God is to wake you up to reality. But here's the problem with Israel. They didn't have to have it like this. God told them what to do when they went in there, and if they'd have done it, they would have never had the troubles. But they rose a generation that didn't know God because they didn't do what they supposed to have done. Do you know how much trouble we brought on our lives just because we won't do what God's saying? Hold your place here. Let me show you an example. Look in Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. You said God's fought and saved them. We ain't got there yet. I mean, this is how he does it. God don't do it the way you think he's going to do it. We're still talking about his judgment over here. But this judgment's going to bring into repentance is what it's going to do. Sometimes you need a good rebuking. But it did not have to be this way. You want to read some, you know, good reading over here in the Old Testament about the law and stuff of God showing how he would have done it if you'd have done it this way. Leviticus 26 is a good chapter for that. Look at verse 1. And you shall make you no idols, nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither set you up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. And God begins to give laws here. The first one he speaks of is these images, worshiping idols. That's what he's dealing with over there in Judges, Baal and Ashtaroth, these other gods, right? Now look, he said, you don't do that. Don't do that now. Look, what will God do? Verse 6, I will give peace in the land. You shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Verse 7, and you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you. What, if you'll just do what I said? I'll ask you that. Here's what I said, do. Now do it. Verse 9, he said, for I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. Verse 11, and I will set my tabernacle among you. Verse 12, and I will walk among you. And verse 13, I am the Lord your God which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, and you shall not be their bondmen. I have not broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. God said, this is what I want you to do, and if you do it, this is the blessings on your life. God told him, he said, go in there, annihilate every one of them, kill man, woman, boy, and child, go in there, take the land, drive out the inhabitants, don't league up with the world, and I'll bless you. They went in there and left some of them. They didn't do what he said. Here's the example right here in Leviticus. Now look at verse number 14. But ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments. He said in these first verses, this is what I'll do if you'll do it. I'll just bless you hand over fist. But you won't. The Bible said in verse 15, and if you shall despise my statutes, or your soul harbor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, he says, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror. Verse 17, I will set my face against you. Verse 18, and if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power, verse 19. And verse 20, and your strength shall be spent in vain. Verse 21, and if you walk contrary to me, verse 22, I will also send wild beasts among you. And yet, you just go on and on and on. What's he showing in Leviticus 26? If you do it this way, this is what I'll do to you. But if you don't, I'm going to judge you. That's what he's doing in the book of Judges. He said, this is what you should have did. You didn't do it, so this is what you're getting. I'm going to punish you. My hand's going to be against you. What he said over there in the book of Acts, you better be careful. You find yourself fighting against God. Fight. So God delivered. But it didn't have to be that way. God was against them. Boy, you on bad terms if God gets against you. Look in Deuteronomy 31. God gets against you. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 31, 20. God's against you. 31, 20. Yes, sir. Deuteronomy 31, 20. He says, for when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey. Ain't that what he was going to do? And they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat. Then will they turn unto other gods and serve them, provoke me and break my covenant. You know what God said? I know they're going to do it. He's prophesying they're going to do it. He knows. Look in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, verse 31. 32:21. The Bible says 32:21, they have moved me to jealousy. Why is God upset? Because he's jealous. They're his people. He's supposed to be serving him with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now, he's talking about the children of Israel and what they've done against God. And God said, I'm going to provoke you with a nation that don't know me. Do you know what he does historically in the future? Romans chapter number 11. That the Jews rejected their Messiah and God rose up a Gentile nation, a bunch of Gentile dogs like us, and provoked Israel to jealousy by saving Gentile dogs. That's what he does. You know what he's going to do in the future? He's going to forsake, if you will, the Gentile nations and go right back to the children of Israel, because the Gentiles have taken for granted how good God's been to them, and God's going to cut them off and grab back in that olive tree that's the right one. What is it? Man, what does man learn from history? Did he never learn from history? What Israel done, God gave it to the Gentiles. The Gentiles lost gratitude, and God's going to give it right back to the Jews. He's provoking them.
Amen.
Look at Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs 8. Just a little bit more. Hurry. We got to hurry. Proverbs 8. God was against them. Well, you don't want God against you. How you get God against you? Go against what he said? Well, I know what he said, but I'm going to do this. Go ahead. Help yourself. You ain't going to turn out good. Proverbs 8:36. Look at this verse. But he that sinneth against me, who's that, God? What does he do? Wrongeth his own soul. You know what you're doing when you sin against God? You're hurting yourself.
Yep.
You see that? He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. You reap what you sow, right? Look back in Judges chapter 2. They went against God and God went against them. You know what God does though? This is how God is. He raised up help. Verse 16, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. What is the merciful hand of God? God's fault and God's save. God's fighting is not what you would think. God's fighting was using the children of the enemies against them. That was God fighting with the enemy. God gave them the right to get them, just like He did with Job. The Lord looked at Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Yeah, all he's got, I can't get to him with the head. God said, go ahead and spare his life. God gave him rights to go get him. You know what God done to the children of Israel? They done wrong. Job's a different situation. He didn't do wrong. Well, a little bit of pride maybe God was getting out of him. But He said, hey, there they are. They done wrong. Go get them. God was actually fighting against His own people with the enemy. He's the commander over them. And He done it to get them right. And they cried out and God said, all right, I can't take it no more. I got to help you. Got to come to your rescue. Kind of like a parent, you know. You try to be hard to your children. They do wrong. Then they bust down and cry and break down. And you just take them right back in and help them. Like a pastor. People, you be mean and rebuke. And then you see them and you want to love on them. And it's just the way it works, man. You can't explain it. It's just there. It's there. He fought. God fought. Then He saved. That's the heart of God. Boy, we all need the heart of God in us. Have compassion on people. We all make mistakes. Hey, but are they willing to get right? Help them get right. He raised up judges. Now, here's what's sad. Look at verse 17. He raised up the judges. Verse 17. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges. But they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord. But they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. You know what God did? He looked down and heard their groanings. Kind of like He did with the children of Israel when He sent Moses down there. He heard them people crying. Go down there and deliver my people. God's judging them for their disobedience. God's fighting against them. And then the same God that's fighting against them is going to come in and save them when they cry out.
Amen.
God's using His fighting to produce repentance. Their repentance is their groaning, crying out. At the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to what? Repent. What did He say in Revelation 2, 16 or somewhere? Repent or else. Repent or what? The else. That's the alternative. They groaned and cried and God raised up a judge and delivered them. God saved them. That's what He did. He came in for help. This is the pattern of the book of Judges in verse 16 through verse 19. There's apostasy. They repent. God delivered. They served. Don't miss this. As long as the judge was alive and then they apostatized again.
Amen.
That's how it works. That's how the book of Judges is going to go. They're going to apostatize, go into sin. God's going to bring judgment on them. They're going to repent. God's going to deliver. They're going to serve God as long as the judge is there. And the judge dies, it goes right back to apostles. You know what it shows? You need a leader in your life. You need a leader in your life that'll help you out. You know what the problem is? They just kept fooling around with the world. Adulterers and adulteresses. God espoused them to chaste virgin, but they went their own way. So Israel forsook and served. God fought, and then He saved. No, look at this last point. Let me give it to you quickly. Israel follows, and God stops. Now, this is kind of scary. Verse 19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, and following other gods to serve them, and bowed down unto them, they ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn ways. Own doings and stubborn ways. Israel follows. Who they follow? They follow the gods again. You know what the problem is? Here's the problem. You know what your problem is? You know what my problem is? Self. That's the problem. Right there. Old wretched man that I am. Brother preached on Sunday. Right here. Here's the problem. They followed their own stubborn ways and their own doings. That's what their problem was. Their problem was self. We're going to do it our way.
Amen.
You do it your way, you're going to be in a mess.
Amen.
You're going to wreck your life. You know what? Israel brought more troubles on them than they should have had. You know what we do? Listen, don't miss this. You know what we do as Christians? We bring more trouble on our lives that should not be there.
Amen.
You know what this shows right here in the last part of this passage? I want you to get this. That we all going to have troubles.
Amen.
We all going to struggle. But you know what the problem is? Some of us bring more troubles on them than we should have.
Amen.
They brought the troubles. You know why? Because they just wouldn't do right. Their own stubborn ways. Look in verse 20. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. There he is, mad again. And said, because of that this people have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. Here's what God's saying. You didn't listen, and I'm not moving them. I would have got rid of it, but now I'm going to make you live with it.
Amen.
There's certain things in our Christian life, you know what the problem is? God makes us live with them because we chose not to listen. It wouldn't have been like that, brother. That was not God's plan. But they didn't listen. God said, because you didn't, I'm not driving them out. Verse 22, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as the fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered He them into the hand of Joshua. Here's the mercy of God again in it all. God would have delivered them out of it. He'd have got them out, but He didn't listen. So God said, I'm going to take it and I'm going to use it to help you. It shouldn't even be there, but I'm going to use it to help you. Let me read you a verse. You stay right here and I'll read it to you. Let me see if I can find it. I'll give you the reference after I read it because you'll turn if I give it to you now. Listen to this. He says this, but He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God knoweth the way we take. God knew what He was going to do. He said it before what He was going to do. That's Job 23:12. He knoweth the way that I take. And when He have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know what God's going to do? He's going to take their disobedience and use that thing to make them better. Same thing He did with the children of Israel. They could have went straight over there in the promised land with an 8-day, 10-day journey, and they wandered 40 years, and God used that to school them to make them better. It didn't have to be that way, but God done it. We'll make mistakes, and God will use that mistake in our repentance and help us to get right. Try them. Whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk therein. Here's four things you need to do. You write them down. Look at them later. Number one, throw down the idols. Get rid of them. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Number two, submit to God. James 4:7. Throw down the idols and give your life to God. Say, God, whatever you want is what I want to do. Number three, yield to God. Romans 6. Don't yield to this world. Say, open yourself up and say, God, whatever you want, here I am. Number four, fight till you die. Ephesians 6:10. If you and I will throw down our idols, they're out there. We may even pick some of them up. Hanging out with the world. We didn't do it the right way, right? We've all done junk. Throw away the idols. Don't hide them under your bed, you know. Don't try to keep them around. Throw them down. Hey, submit your life to God. You know, that's what he goes on to say in James 7, and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Give it all in to God. Yield every decision you make to God. Whatever you want is what's going to be my mind. And then fight until you die. Because the enemy's going to constantly be out there. You're constantly going to have hardships in your life. You know what's wrong with Christians nowadays? They think, well, if I will, you know, number one, throw down my idols. Number two, submit to God and yield to God. Everything's going to be smooth. You're going to have to fight till you die.
Amen.
You know what the problem is? There ain't many people want to fight. It's a fight. You know what? It's a fight to have a good home. It's a fight. It's a fight to have a good church. You got to fight hell, the devil, the flesh, the world. It's a fight. You know what we do? We just fight till we go home.
Yeah.
Keep pressing on. Ain't no time to retreat and turn around. I said, I'm going to use it to prove them. See what they're going to do. I mean, when it gets rough, what you going to do? We'll just give it up and quit. Well, you mean just like everybody else does. God's people stick it out. Stay in there. Fight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe God spoke in your heart somehow tonight.